Welcome to this morning's study of the Word of God. I trust that God has prepared something special for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1. We are going to read the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I say this once in a while. This to me is the most important one of all the ones that we read. It's the foundation of Christianity. All right. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 12. Let's use the same version. From verse 12, are you ready for that?
Yes, sir.
One, two, let's go. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us the Son. Thank you for through him we have been reconciled to you, Father. We thank you. We open our hearts this morning to receive the grace that you release through your word. Receive the blessings that you've packaged in those words for us this morning.
Amen.
Our hearts are open. Lord, we lay down every stronghold, every preconceived idea,
yes,
anything that's exalted against the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, we lay them down this morning.
Amen.
And we say, Lord, take preeminence.
Amen.
Fill our hearts with truth.
Amen.
Fill our hearts with knowledge.
Amen.
The knowledge of you. Fill our hearts with understanding of what you want us to do. We receive all of this from you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we declare as follows.
I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I've been filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take our seat. Now let's open our Bible this morning to continue teaching about the goodness of God. Yes. In which we're describing the characters of God. All right. So the name of the series is The Goodness of God. Like I said, there are many things we are going to say about God. And I started by talking about what faith is. Let me just quickly summarize that for us again. Faith is not a bold attitude towards life. Faith is not your confidence to get things done. Motivational speakers will tell you can do it. There are some things you can't do, bros. Do you get my point?
Uh-huh.
Faith is not this... No, this I'm looking for a word, apart from confidence. This boldness of heart to just try anything. Sometimes that's pure foolishness. Sometimes it is foolishness. Because the Englishman told us that they know that there are places that angels fear to tread. And fools will rush in there. And they think they are bold. They are just fools. So boldness is not what faith is. Only one thing constitutes faith. That's relying on that which God has said. That is what faith is. If the Lord says it, that settles it. If the Lord has said it, nothing is going to change it as far as you are concerned. Faith is, I know what he said. What is faith? So why are you doing this? The Lord said.
Yes.
All of us are doing this. Why are you not doing it? But the Lord said. So that the Lord said attitude is what faith is. You know, I'll listen to somebody preach My wife and I was late in the room. So she came in, and the man said something. I told my wife, see, this is a problem with faith, of understanding of faith. You know this portion of the book of Ezekiel? When God says, son of man, can these bones live? What was the answer he gave? You know, this was what I learned when I was young. It's the answer of a faithless man. Yeah, you know, that's what we were taught when I was young. So that man I was preaching, this is about 2 days ago. He said, man, he wouldn't score high in faith. I told my wife, this is a problem. What the answer he gave is faith. He has never seen bones that are dry like that, living. So he said, God, what do you have to say about it? Those of us who think we have faith, say, yeah, the bones can live. How you take no? It's okay now, maybe in this particular generation, you have a complete Bible. Ezekiel had never seen dead bones rise. And there is no preceding word of God. So why should he say they will live? That shows the error in our faith. Can these bones live? Why not? God can do anything. See, God can do anything. We know. Like now, he can throw the sun out of the sky. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
So if I ask you now, can this sun leave the sky tomorrow? If you say yes now, you don't have faith. You are a presumptuous person. Because God has given you no indication that he intends to do that. So you should have answered like Ezekiel did. Let's ask God. And the Lord says, yes, by this time tomorrow there shall be no sun. You turn around boldly and say, yeah, this sun is going. We think faith just means that anything, I just calculate it anyhow, because God can do anything, he will do it. Not necessarily. Faith means you rely only on that which he has spoken. So when Ezekiel said, thou knowest, Lord, that's a man of faith. He was saying, my opinion doesn't count. You've never told me anything about these bones. I'm seeing these bones for the first time. So he said, son of man, can these bones live? I will answer you after you've told me something. I will turn to you, Lord, can these bones live? Ezekiel was not questioning God's... I don't know whether you're getting my point. There's a situation at hand. He had no reference to what God was going to do or concerning what God was going to do. So he gave, listen to me, brethren, the right answer. You know what he was saying? Speak the word and they will live. But that I watch the bones and think that one day bones will live. Many of us have been watching bones, waiting for them to live. And they're not going to live because God doesn't want them to live. He said, these bones are going to decay. They are going to turn to powder. So yesterday, it was 2 days ago, I was listening to the message in the house. Beautiful message otherwise. But I just pointed, I said, see what the problem is. We're laughing at Ezekiel for waiting for a word from the Lord before he says anything. He wasn't questioning God's ability. What was the answer he gave? God, only you knows. You know what that means? If you say they will live, they will live. But as far as I am concerned, we've never had a conversation on it. I will not say anything about it. People of God, that is faith. That is why as a Christian, look. Your Bible must be your friend.
Yes, sir.
Prayer must be your habit. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? Two things. One.
Two.
That's it. Without those two things, you're a fool rushing into where angels fear to tread if you claim you're walking by faith. Your Bible must be your friend. And prayer must be your habit. Otherwise, you're not walking by faith. What is faith? You make a reference to what he has said. Why did I mention prayer? It's revelation, understanding, insight, which God gives because you asked. Do you get what I'm saying? So when you're not good on the road, it's not like when a woman of God says, God had mercy, that you cross the road with your eyes closed. Can God protect you? Why not? It's called tempting the Lord thy God. He didn't say cross the road with your eyes closed. What he said is look left, look right, and look left again. If the road is clear, you cross. Don't just wake up in the morning and say, because my God can do anything. You just be making him do, demanding on him to do crazy things. I remember when was I learning faith those days, when we thought this was what faith was about. We stayed in our room. I remember I stayed in my room. I was watching where they were roasting corn. And I said, I can ask corn to come here. And I began to pray by faith.
Leges, mungus, pagas, bulus,
speaking all kinds of tongues, commanding corn to come, and God is looking like, Banky, are you okay? Did I give you money? Yes, Lord. Did I give you the ability to move from here, the strength to move from here to there? Yes. Did I give you sight to see where they are roasting the corn? Yes. Now, my son, what if you were mine, if you had a son and he did this, what would you do to him? You are going to have a son years later, I think it's going to be victory. Now, if victory did this, what will you do? You will conk him. So, my friend, get up. I'm going to bite the corn. Don't be lazy. But because we fought, once we have an understanding of the ability of God, then we just create problems and tell him to solve it. Because there are precepts. I've shown you corn. I've given you money. I've given you strength to get there. And you're a young man, a student. Get up and go and buy the corn. Very soon, they will bring the corn now. You say, I believe I don't have to chew this corn. It can chew itself. And then, so the whole world is upside down because you learned about the power of God. Of course, know that I stood there for a long time. Eventually, the corn finally did not come. You know, it didn't come. And I was angry. As if my faith was not working. God said, that is not faith. That is not faith. I hope you're getting my point. I think we've clarified it again. Ezekiel was not doubting. He just didn't have the experience with the word of God concerning bones that were dry coming back to life. You say that was faithlessness on his part. Well, let me accept that for a certain reason or in another way of looking at it. Yes, it was faithlessness. You know why? Because faith only comes by hearing. And he hadn't heard. Why are you demanding that you have faith that only comes by hearing? It's not faithlessness as in a moral failure. It is faithlessness as in faith hasn't come. It only comes by what? Hearing. Then just to report what my wife and I discussed. That was two evenings ago. Then the man preaching now said that. Then God told him, prophesy, son of man, prophesy. And he said, I prophesied as commanded. I told my wife, that's faith. That is faith. That is faith. Why? I prophesied as commanded. As he said, the man was now walking by faith. Or he had a heart of faith. Why? Because once God said, prophesy, he prophesied as, I said, this is a man of faith. Don't take anything away from him. We want to prophesy without any commandment. And we say we have faith. That is not faith. The man said, I prophesied as commanded. That is, what the preacher was saying that, look, see, he obeyed. He didn't have faith. I said, no. Faith is obedience. To obey what God has spoken is faith. How was the man of faith? One, didn't say anything when he didn't have any reference. Because faith only comes by what? Hearing. And when he heard, he obeyed. That is how faith works. What's our preaching? We'll talk about faith again later, like I said. What's our preaching? Why should we have faith? That is, why should we trust? Now, we know that faith is relying. Faith is trusting in that which the Lord has spoken. So the next question, therefore, is that why should we trust it? That which he has spoken. Why should we rely on what the Lord has said? And the answer is because he's reliable. Did you get that? Yes, he can be trusted. He can be trusted. Most human beings can't be trusted. When you are going back to school, see me, I will give you money. Once the man's school has reopened, his number will now be unavailable. The number you have called is not available at this moment. Please try again later. That's a human being for you. Now, there are a number of reasons. Sometimes they speak without thinking. Then secondly, they thought, but ability disappeared. Circumstances beyond their control. And that's what the Bible meant when they said God, he said with him there is no variableness, neither was shadow of turning. Now, there are two different words there. Two different things meant. One is that in himself, he doesn't turn like that. Two, circumstances don't make him change. So the two meanings. Variableness is when somebody just get to monitor and say, I'll help you. Then, yeah, I won't help you. He's good today. You know, he has a mental issue, depending on the time of the day. That's variableness. Shadow of turning is that circumstances have changed. he no longer can afford the money. When he was promising you, look, how much is it? 500,000. Don't worry. See me when you are going back to school. Then business went bad. Then he got sacked from his job. Then his house collapsed. His business is based in Maiduguri. He's flooded. Even you, Seth, will you now go to such a man and say, sir, you promised 500K. He will look at you a week or so. Am I the first to promise? Did the dam promise me it will overflow? Now all my rice and beans have been buried. I should still look for 500,000 to give you a wicked boy. That's what the Bible calls shadow of what? Turning. So that is why I have learnt from it's in the scriptures. They came to Jesus, let's make you king. He said he did not commit himself to them. Why? He knew all men. You see, he wasn't being angry. He just knew. So just like me from experience, just like that, for me from experience, I've learned not to commit myself to people. Not because they are bad. Sometimes they forget. Sometimes ability departs from them. When I was younger, of course, go back with your life. Sorry, people will make you promises after promises. By the time I was, before I got married, I had learned. You say, at your wedding, at least, if it's the suit I will make. I say, okay. I didn't count on it. I made my suit, and I never asked the person. And we never talked about it. And I'm married today, thank God. The funny thing you will note, just think about life. Those who end up making that suit for you, they didn't promise. That they just say, well, how's the operation going? That's fine. Which suit are you wearing? Why are you saying, You don't have a suit yet? Come now, they just go. Carry it to the suit market. Come, give him one, you test it. Papa, you can go, they pay. They didn't discuss. Once Pastor came with it, when are you starting? When should start? We'll be there. You know, let me tell you something about human beings. No, it's life. See, if you have not experienced it, you have not lived long enough. As you handle such things, I'll tell you. When people are making those promises, just thank them, bless them, and please, let me beg you, forget it. Forget it. If they remember and they come back, say, you know, I promise, you did, okay, God bless you, sir. And then, if they do something, I'm just playing through many things now. Banky, this is your ministry. I'd expect some money when they come. But by that time, I learned. I said, money don't come, it don't go. Guy, don't chop him. Is it normal? See, in case you think I'm talking about you, no, you are plenty like that. Even me. I'm sure I've done that too. I remember one church I went and pledged money, big money. It's the only time I've done it in my life. Let me confess. I've confessed before, so I know God has forgiven. Time to pay that pay. No. It was between me and God. And God didn't bring the money that I had promised. You know, it was between me. I went to church. They were raising money. I won't tell you the exact amount because it sounds ridiculous now. But that time, that money, I needed to work for a whole month to gather it. It's a whole month, a little more than a whole month salary as a middle post NYC doctor in Lagos. So we went to church. The first thing that first came to my mind was like 20% of that amount. So there's one girl, you know, these young women, you need just, you are an usher. Keep quiet. Stop talking to young men. Your fineness will confuse us. When we're young those days, young usher will now say, the Lord is laying something on your heart. Even the Lord, your face alone will lay it on my heart. You get my point? You know, fine ushers, you know, sending people around. And this girl decided to be talking to me. Why don't you just do your job? Her job? Is she in marketing? So we're sharing this paper. So, the envelopes, they graded them. Depending on the amount you are giving. So you either get a white envelope, a silver envelope, or a gold envelope. You know, they share like, so you now collect the one you wanted. I first collect the small white one. So me, I don't have. I guess this girl just today, like, I believe God, you know, just speaking for me. I look back now, I don't think it was Holy Spirit. She was the one that confused me. I allowed myself to be confused by that young woman. I can't even remember her. I just know that she stood there. Finally, my spirit spoke up. I can do it. So, I sat down. I calculated that I just came then to Lagos. I said, okay, I will get a job soon. Now, the first month, I will pay this amount. Next month, I'll pay this amount. By the third month, I'll pay this amount. I totaled it. I went for the bigger card. I called the young woman to come back. Collected the card, wrote. Oh, God. So God saw me as I was plotting it. So that's why I didn't pay. Because God was there. It was between me and him. You know why? The next 8 months or 9 months, I didn't get that job. So I said, God, what am I supposed to pay you for? After that, I learned my lesson. If you bring people that pledge this one, I'm not even answering you. So now some man go enter into trouble. In my heart, Father God, when I get money, I will do what I can do. And I will remember. And since then, I've always done what I'm supposed to do. Now, this one is like, okay, I wasn't waiting for it to be convenient. I was flat broke. You're not getting my point. Even if you sold my shoes, couldn't pay that money. So I told the Lord, see, it's you I pledge money to, not them. They don't know me. And what I told you is that if you, next month, when you bring this money, we will share it. And you didn't bring shishi. So take half of what you did not bring. This pastor is looking at me like, I hope my corruption are not like this. My brother, that is why you don't rely on human beings. Why I'm telling this story? So that you know that all of us have been there. I'm not abusing anybody. Human beings are just like that. It's called shadow of turning. It's called shadow of turning. One day, one of our sisters, she and I were talking. There was one guy that was interested in her case and all of that. So I said, when are you planning to get married? He said, the guy is going for master's. After master's, he will do this. I said, wait, are you his director of academic planning? Because the way I'm looking at the two of you, you are not serious. By the following month, she had told the guy she's not marrying again. I was the reason. Yeah, I sat at that. I said, you're not serious. What kind of rubbish is this one? We'll do the engagement for academic planning. Please, go to university. Go to the dean of academic planning. Let him plan your life. Don't use me. He said, ah, sir, the guy's mother really likes me. Have you ever seen a mother that doesn't like a good girl? Every mother I know likes good girls. I said, please, so don't use that one to impress me. If that guy is not giving you the date he's marrying, you tell him to get out. At the time we were talking, Baba never do NYSU. Or just go. Yeah, he was doing internship. He never could do NYC. He's thinking of master's program. So you'll be there, marching and waiting for him. It's called mark time. Left, right. You're marking time, waiting for one guy that has no plans, that thinks he does, to go and do master's and come back. What if he fails? What is the project not, you know, does not join? I said, my sister, please stop this nonsense. So sit that young man down. If he doesn't have any serious plans, send him a note. Say, Oga, I know they marry again. We're making plans that you have no control over. If anybody, I have this habit there. These days, I don't even see things. I think I don't see things like that anymore. But those when I was younger, if I see any man and woman, waka kuru kere, today, people came for Bible study together. You left together. I will call you. Come. What's going on? You smile like a, no? Like somebody's tickling you. There's no problem. Give me a date. We have not thought about it yet. Then you're not planning to get married. You're fooling yourself. You're not planning to get married. There's no engagement without date fixed. For the main thing, say I'm engaged. When I plan to, we are not sure. You are not engaged. You are foolish. How nonsense engagement is that one? Engagement that has no plan. So that's not my message for this morning. As all the young women that they are engaging you, go and disengage yourself after two. Okay, you are streaming, all right? Type a WhatsApp message. Tell the young man you want to pray. That is the way we, you know, Christian, that's how we fool ourselves. I want to pray. The guy will get the point. Apostle, if a young woman sends a message to a guy who she was agreeing to marry before, say, please, I want to pray about this marriage. If a man get the point, that's their own nice way of telling you, shift. Why are we shifting? You have no plan. You are still waiting to finish your master's program and then apply for PhD. Then halfway through PhD, you will get a job. And then when you get a job, what will I be doing? I'll be doing my time. Left eye. Not serious. Don't worry, I'm not lost. I know where I am. The Lord is good. I'm looking at these two guys. Is he one? Now, the point we're making is that, so that's why human beings are not dependable. Not because they are bad, but because it's what is called what? Shadow of turning. God has two things, in which is very different for us in that area. He doesn't have any variableness. It's constant in himself. He's made up his mind. You are the only one that can change the situation. The second one is that circumstances are inferior to his ability. So that's what they call, with him there is no variableness, neither is there what? Shadow, any shadow of turning. That shadow of turning means the sun moved. Your shadow was here before. Your shadow is not here. It's now on this side. It's not your fault. It's the sun that moved. With God, that doesn't happen. If he says, I will be there, it starts raining, you know, fire and brimstone. It will blow. The fire and brimstone will stop. But you know, human beings, once they start moving and the rain starts, they have to go and look for shelter. God doesn't need that. He rides above the rain and he gets to where he has to get to. That's what we mean when we say there's no shadow of turning. That's why he's dependable. That's why he's reliable. Ezekiel could not answer because God had never given him a word about dry bones. But in the case of Abraham, God has said, in Isaac will your seed be. So when he said, kill Isaac and burn him to pieces, he said, then God must have a plan for raising him up again from the dead. Because he had a word. What was the word? In Isaac will your seed be. He's a reliable God. Alright, so that's why we're doing this study, to see the foundation for faith. And that is what? The character of God. The foundation of faith is the character of God. So, the first one we looked at last time, we looked at the fact that God is love or God is good. I couldn't distinguish really in my teaching between the goodness of God and the love of God. So, I just talked about them combined. So, we saw that from 1 John chapter 4, where it says that God is love. Remember, what does it mean to be love? That was defined for us by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And one of the things we saw is that love does not seek its own. There are many things about love there. It's patient, it's kind. We're going to look at all of those things, all right? We're already looking at them, actually. God is kind. But the one I emphasized as we're closing was the fact that is the one that God says, Paul said, love does not seek his own. And I emphasize to us that God cannot have a need. It's too big. If you're to count God's riches in terms of money of today, the number is infinite. Whether it's in dollars, in naira, in pounds, in euro, it's infinite. If you want to count it wealth in the weight of gold, you will be measuring it for the rest of time. You will not have finished measuring it, the number of kilograms of gold that he has in wealth. If only to count his wealth in maybe landed property, you will keep measuring the land as fast as light travels and as far as life travels in infinite length of time. That's the amount of land he will have. That's just how wealthy he is. So that is why he never needs anything from anybody. He's God all by himself, like we say, and he does not need anybody else. So we said, they say praise God. Praise is the food of God. That's an inappropriate statement. Praise is not the food of God. He doesn't need to eat. Are you getting my point? Life is inside him. So if ever he asks for something, it's so that he can bless us that he's asking, or bless our neighbor, somebody else. And that was one lesson Elihu taught to Job. That you do good, it's for your fellow man. You decide to be wicked, it's for your fellow man. How does your goodness or wickedness touch the Lord? None of them will touch him. Do you get my point? So that's the point. So when God says, even when he tells you to praise him, praise is good for you. Are you getting my point? That praise is good for you. It's not good for him. The praise is good for you. If you are worshiping God, it is good for you, not for him. Remember that the clown that was speaking about God? Said God is preoccupied with the preservation of his own prerogative. His big English spoken by fools. I hope you get my point. Yeah, that's it. As if God just wants you to do things only the way he wants it. No other way. When the doctor tells you, lie down, remove your cloth, he puts needle inside your bum. He wants to do things the way he likes it. Why don't you tell him that? Why is it that it is God you tell that? When the doctor tells you, sign here before we put you to sleep. In that signet, where you are signing, he will tell you that this is the operation we want to do, but things could go wrong. Authorize us to do what we have to do to save your life. Imagine the situation. So you wake up, you wanted to remove a hernia, you wake up, your kidney is gone. What is off? Worst things have happened. When you recover from anesthesia, you'll be praying. What would they tell me? But when you fall asleep, you sign before you sleep. Sometimes you're unconscious by the time you need to sign. So they get your wife to sign. You don't have your wife, they get your father to sign. You will sign in black and white. There, it's written clearly that this is what we want to do. However, life has traps. All of you heard Pastor Banky preach about it, didn't you? You say, yes, sir. I'm a surgeon, no? I'm not God. If I get there, if your life is in jeopardy, authorize me to do everything I need to do, including removing half of your intestines. It happens every day. I'm not telling you something that we read about in folk tales. It happens every day. And there was nothing wrong with one. Something just went wrong. The guy nipped something by accident. And you know what he would do to him? Nothing. Why are you not insulting the doctor? That is only, you know, he's making me sign for the preservation of his own prerogative. You don't insult him. There are things people will say to God, that God will send them to hellfire. Say that's an insult. Because what you've told me now, you can't tell your doctor. You trust him to do what he has to do. Why can't you trust me to do what I have to do? And that's something I want to talk about today. The fact that God is wise. He's very wise. He knows what he's doing. The doctor you are signing your life off into, he doesn't know what he's doing. What's the risk of surviving this operation? They'll tell you, the operation people are going for. 50-50. But it's his sign. So the man saying that God is not preoccupied with preserving his own prerogative. He knows more than your doctor. So he says, put your life in my hands. Give me that life of yours. You don't know how to handle it. You can't do anything about it. Give it to me. You do not know what to do about it. Then again, did you make this life? Why didn't you tell me? Which phone do you use? Samsung, Apple, LG, whatever. Whoever makes your phone, Nokia. When they give you a manual, say they are concerned, they are preoccupied with the preservation of their prerogative. When they tell you how to use the phone. Don't be stupid. You don't say that because you know you didn't make the phone. They know how it works. You spend money, plenty of money, buy one expensive piece of equipment. Then the guy who doesn't respect what you think, he respects only what he thinks. This is a voltage range. You can't use it in the sun. You can't use it in the moon. Who is in the moon? I don't know. But you get my point. You can't use it in water. They tell you, look, this is water resistant to this depth. I mean, you use it any other way, warranty is off. Nobody's opening this thing apart from a licensed and certified repairer that we show to you. Why don't you say they are concerned or preoccupied with the preservation of their own prerogative? You know it makes sense. Why they made it, you did not. They know what works. They know what does not work. So if God created the heavens and the earth and made this body that we use, why can't he tell us what to do with it? The same fools will not cross Apple when they buy the iPhone. They will do only what Apple says. Then God gives them a body. They say, it's how I feel. You know, the one that annoys me is Windows. You won't know when Windows will just quickly update itself. To not tell you, this device will update in off when you are not using it. They tell you when you are not, you can set the time, you will set it. You are busy tomorrow. Tomorrow it will remind you, this device needs to update. It will update when you are not using it. Or you can set a time, you will set another time. Then after you've set it like 4, 5, 6 times, Windows is looking at you like, you. Suddenly they just tell you, Windows is updating. You're like, oh, what are they work now? Have you been there? Just take over the computer. Next thing, shut this down. That thing will start rolling on the screen. Next thing, bam, it will go off. Then it will reboot. And you're like, this is my computer. And you're not concerned about the preservation of your own prerogative. Why? You know, they say, look, you're a security risk. That's why they do what they do. That you have become a security risk. They need to update it, otherwise you will not let this computer be safe. If human beings can do that, how much more should God have the ability or the right to do it in our lives? the creator of the heavens and the earth. No matter how you feel, if you say it is wrong, it is wrong. Have you ever heard this? You follow your heart. I hope your heart has been trained by the word of God. Please, don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. Your heart decrees. It's in the Bible. The heart of man is what? Exceedingly deceitful. Let me tell you that follow your heart. Follow it. Which heart? Which heart? This deceitful heart. That's why they are following their hearts and entering into pits now. You follow your heart will wake you up in the morning. Oh boy. Come, let's go. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Walk, walk. Ah. Don't use the staircase. Just walk. You can fly. You can fly. Just come out. Boom. That's it. Fourth floor. You walk out and they start dropping. It's your heart, too. Your heart will tell you to be over speeding. At night, it's your heart. You have a speedy heart. And one motivational speaker will tell you, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart, nothing. Follow the word of God. Follow sound counsel. Some people have hearts that are lazy, so their heart will never allow them to walk. I've met many times. One man told me that, meet them, you know, this, you will keep learning. Experience helps us. Came to me one day. He said that, you know, he told a long story. And they're always dreaming dreams. See, anybody that dreams a dream and puts you inside is a liar. See, Apostle. You can't dream a dream, put me inside and use it to tell me what to do. You decrease. They do it. They dreamt that somebody was pulling them out of the pit. Better jump inside your pit by yourself. I'm not pulling you out of the pit. You saw me somewhere. They are trying to beg you for money. I didn't know the dream was coming at the time. Somebody would come and dream and dream. By the time they dream, so then they dreamt that somebody was pulling them out of the pit. So you are the one. You're supposed to pull him out of the pit. You have not finished pulling your wife out of the pit. You've not finished pulling your new baby out of the pit. You now pull one stranger who you have never met out of the pit. Bro, myself, I'm in the pit. You don't know the pit I'm inside. I come and pull you out of the pit. Nobody should dream a dream. Put me inside the dream and then come and use it to direct my life. Now, I'm not saying you can't dream and see me inside, though, but it's directing your life, not mine. Do you get, I won't change my ministry because you dreamt about me. Anyone that will change my life, I will dream it. That's why this guy came one day, finished dreaming. I was in the pit and I was dragging him out. That's the guy that will come and say, do you have foodstuff? Have you ever seen a man with wife and children that doesn't have foodstuff? Stupid question. If you're hungry, say, oh God, bless. I never chop. Say, do you happen to have foodstuff? Why won't I have foodstuff? What would Akiolu eat if I don't have foodstuff? Dreaming dreams. Anyway, I didn't have experience that time. But I quickly gained experience with him. He was speaking plenty English. And I said, there's a man of God that he's following. That one made him to go and learn a trade. So you see, that's not my calling. He has a calling of an evangelist. Yes. And that one made him to go and learn metal work. You know, metal work is, there's a reason they call it metal work. It's metallic. But then he finished talking, I didn't even know what to say. Then God called him to ministry. See, before God can call you to ministry, you must finish the metal work and graduate. Go and check all the people that Jesus called. Go and check all of them. Even the one that was cheating people, was busy cheating people. God will call a kidnapper quicker. Now some of these are our church boys. Because for you to kidnap somebody is a lot of work. You know? You know, police can kill you. You'll cross your leg and you're picking teeth. Say, God is calling you. There are many voices. You will hear one if your ear is not normally busy. If you're in the office, they're shouting, hey, you, come. Hey, you, go. Before God can call you, he'll shout. But when you're not hearing anything, you'll be hearing calls. One bird will fly past. That's an evangelist. Cockroach will crawl past, you'll be an apostle. Then a bird will fly past singing. I'll call to the singing ministry. You know why? You're not busy. He told me that he was called Kiniko, evangelist. And I said that, you see where he is, I'm not happy. I don't believe that, you know. People say, I'm not happy. Why are you not happy? A lazy man is never happy when you make him do metal work. So that is how he ran away from that place. He was preparing me to take over his responsibilities. Yes. Every time he will call, he was planning to go. He doesn't know whether I have 2,000. Urgent 2K. The Lord is good. He was following his heart. His heart was a useless heart. Irresponsible heart. That guy was spoiled by his mother from the time he was small. It was obvious. There's somebody I know that knew him. I went and told that one to warn him. That one called him and talked to him very well. He now came to see me that he's very happy the way I'm helping him. Just get out. I'm not helping you. You don't want help. He doesn't want help. He doesn't want help. If he wanted help, that man was helping him. That man just demanded that he stays in that place and learn mental work. And I give him a word of advice. I said, listen, what you should do, sit down, learn, and tell God, by next year, I will pay my rent by myself. I mean, people are using mental work to build mansions for themselves. But it's hard work. So he followed his heart. One of our brothers came one day, says, oh, God transferred him from one part. He traveled from Abuja to come and see me. I said, what's the problem? He said, that's not where his passion lies. I'm going to get back to work. See, his passion is not in, is a lawyer. He likes corporate law. He doesn't like to go to court. Or Ghana, he worked in a big firm. He now moved him from corporate to litigations. And he has to go to court. So now I came to see him. What do I think? What's the problem? Say his passion. I said, my friend, before I open this eye, you've left that seat. You are in court. You think Joseph's passion was going to prison? I have a passion for prison. This Potiphar's house is not my passion. My destiny will not be manifested unless I go to jail. You think that's how I landed there? He was crying. I said, this is not my passion. Prison is not my passion. That's why he was crying. They locked him there. But being a responsible man, he got there and he was working. He got there, he was busy. And then the Lord now came and lifted him. And the Lord knew where he would be. You know, some people now, if you are too free, God doesn't know where to find you. So they locked him in prison. So when we are looking for him, we know where he is. People are looking for freedom that will make them miss their destiny. Remember that that your guy that I was telling that I'm not free. The way I am, I'm not free. I said, what are you doing with the freedom? See, in this life, you don't need freedom. What are you doing with freedom? Tell Reverend, you know the guy I'm talking about. I said, what are you doing with freedom? So you can hang out at the bar. You know, Ezra, now your guy. So you can be drinking beer and coming home at 12 midnight. See, if I come back home at 12 midnight, you won't smell ogogoro in my breath. You'll be giving me food. How was the minute? How was the minute? I will need to sit down. I've been preaching. You spoke for 4 hours? Praise God. That's what they do with freedom. Not freedom to come home anytime, half drunk. So I need to be free. I need to be free. Like Ben Carson said, many of these young men are looking for freedom. You know what they find? A place where they will tell them when to wake up, when to sleep, when to sit down, when to go to the toilet, when to eat. Give them only one uniform. That is, for 30 years, we are wearing the same color. Boys High School. Thank you. That's what Ben Carson said in his book. Say, when you are looking for freedom, you end up where you have none. Say, young boys, what are you doing with freedom? Somebody needs to wake you up in the morning. Friend, go and wash the car. Have a bath. Go to class. They give you an assignment. You have no time for social media because you are doing an assignment. And that way you can now be free at the right time. And there's never freedom for any other thing more than to do the will of God. So following your heart. What do you follow? The word of God. All right? The Lord is good. And I don't know how I got into that, but I hope one or two people learned something. So we're talking about the character of God. God is reliable. He's dependable, and that's the reason why we can walk by what? Faith. That's why we can rest when he speaks. That's why we can rest. If we've heard his word, we know him. He has the power. He has the ability. And he has the goodwill. We're talking about that. He never asks for anything but for our own good. So if you have a thriving business, and if God were to reveal to you, shut it down now. Different ways though, by which he reveals. All right? But let us assume we became clear concerning what he's saying. Shut it down. No matter how good the business is, shut it down. I told the story here before. I read about the testimony from Ora Roberts. He built one of the most enviable medical centers in the Christian world. Faith Medical Center, I think that's the name. Anyway, so in the Ora Roberts, in Tulsa anyway. Built a very nice complex hospital there for where they combine the surgeons there, they pray before they go for surgery. You see nurses and surgeons join hands and the anesthetist and commit this patient to the hands of the Lord and offer their hands to God to use. It's a beautiful environment. It's a place where you would like to go and have your surgery. Lovely place. I heard Kenegin talk about it. He said, such a pity it had to close. Yes, because it was you could feel the faith in the air. It was a nice place. Except that one day, David Wilkerson, a no-nonsense preacher, prophet, he walked in there and told the man, the Lord said I should tell you to shut it down. Is it good? Said the Lord said, shut it down. Let me be honest with you. I don't care how anointed you are. If I'm a robot, ain't shutting it down because you said so. You can come, your name is Amos, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I still won't shut it down. I'm being honest with you. You think it's easy to shut it down? Do you know how many hundreds of people were walking there? Do you know how many patients are on their way? I will just shut it down because Isaiah showed up from somewhere. He didn't say I killed somebody. You know, if my name is David now, and I carry the Uriah's wife, I can understand. I didn't kill anybody. I have a beautiful hospital like this. And he said, I should shut it down. Shut up. Shut to me. I answer you. Anyway. That was, you see that the way I just spoke now, very foolishly. That was how Ora Roberts still was thinking. And I spoke like because I understand for Ora Roberts. Come on. It's hard. So it took David Wilkerson around the property. Showed him everything. Even David Wilkerson budged in his heart. Fine place. I don't know, they say, he asked him again, so what do you think? See, that's a Balaamic discussion. And David Wilkerson is no Balaam. He was no Balaam. The man said, yes, a very fine place. Anyway, by the way, the Lord said, shut it down. And he left. Let me tell you something about, you say you won't shut it down. Yes, I said it. But let me tell you what I would do if I were the one. That's it. That's prayer time. A credible prophet comes and gives me, prophet can make mistakes. That's why I won't just shut it down because you said so. I will go and start praying. I will go and start praying. I won't just dismiss it like that. I will go and start praying. I don't know whether that was what Ora Roberts did, but the place shut itself down over the next few months or years. Yeah, it shut itself down. It shut down. They couldn't pay their bills. God withdrew funds. God pulled things out. They were going bankrupt. They had to sell the building. It's not an office complex. To know that indeed, that man spoke by the Spirit of God. The thing shut down. That's what Kenneth Hagin referred to it. Say, oh, it's a pity that place had to close. It closed. God just pulled everything back. Money didn't come. Patients didn't come. So an explanation came on why they did. At the end of the day, they were not filled to capacity. They had to be paying a lot of money. They were going bankrupt. So he now realized, see, it was not a business decision. Shut it down. People think God only starts things. He closes them too. The same man tried to do a faculty of law, and he couldn't. The opposition was great. And God refused to help against the opposition. Finally, in frustration, he handed one of the best libraries in America, handed it to Regent University and shut it down. That's when Ora Roberts University was trying to start their faculty of law. Nobody agreed. God just said no. At the end of the day, we know it's God. So just look for a man that had his own kind of passion. And that was, Regent's man? Pat Robertson, thank you. So you see, if God says shut down, I know some people may be confused because sometimes things come up in your heart. Some of us married for so long, we don't know what it means to fall in love. We've been in love for so long, we don't even know what love is again. We're just there. Do you get my point? You don't understand? You know, you can be used to something, you don't even know the thing. You just do the thing, you're not feeling it. Eh? Yes, it's part of your life. It's just, the women don't want us to understand, but we'll understand, it's not. You know the prodigal son's father told the other brother, "You are here with me always. Why would they kill calf like this?" So you mentioned, when the revelation just hit you. See the way he released laughter from the back. you love your wife, all right? Just that occasionally, you know, the thing flares up, but I still remember when I first knew my wife, that I, like, at night you wake up, you just be thinking of her. I love my wife now, but I see her during the night, I don't think. You are happy with me always. It's only when you travel, I don't see you for like 2 weeks. WhatsApp will not even allow me to be thinking of you. I'll be WhatsApping you all the time. You don't wake up, you don't sit down, you don't stand up. Just normal life. If I reach house, my wife not there, I don't call. Where are you there? Because once the phone rings, say, "Hey, oh God, don't come. I'm driving. Where? I know you're driving. Thank you. Where is the driving spot right now? I've left so that I know you've left so that. Where exactly are the tires on the road? A lot is good. Anyway, the point I'm making is, they are making me laugh this morning. I mean, let me preach. I beg you, people should relax. I want to preach my message. So what I'm trying to say is that, so sometimes some of you, but you see, if you fall in love with somebody, now if you can try and remember how it is, I don't know, all right. And some prophet now said, don't marry the person. You will use all kinds of methods to rationalize. The Lord is testing me like Abraham. If I put this Isaac on the altar, he'll give him back to me. Don't they hear the truth? They lie. It's not a test. It's a command. It's a commandment. It's not a test. So it came about, God tested you. It's not testing you. You are not marrying Angela. Leave it. You are feeling like Abraham. You are not Abraham. God knows the future. He says he doesn't lie here with this young man or with this young woman. Now, where I'm going is that, what do you do with such things? Now, that's my main message. What do you do with such an instruction? Instructions that you hear and you collapse under the weight of the word. It's not only marriage. I just use that one as an example. Because you see, one of the things that I hate most about life is the inability for us to just control ourselves because we want it. I don't know whether I get my point. For example, now you know you're not supposed to be on your phone all the time. But then by the time you wake up, the phone is in your hand. It's been up with you for 30 minutes. You've been doing nothing. It annoys me. You know, just to have, you know, like Paul talked about in that Romans chapter 7, not having that thing which you want to do. You do, you know, the one you want to do, even though you know it, it's not good. But it's life. It happens. You want to know the truth? How do you handle it as a Christian? It's very easy. Say, draw near to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find, let me use the proper word, and find charis, power to help in the time of need. Not, when you say grace, it's different from mercy. He said, you come to receive what? Mercy. And find power that is needed to help you in the time of need. You are the young woman, whoever it is, the prophetic word decides to come against where your flesh is going, where your effort has gone into. You do like Jesus Christ did. You rush into the Garden of Gethsemane and stay there. Don't come out. If you come out and the word of the prophet is still heavy for you to carry, you go back inside there again. You stay there. And what do you pray? Some people tell me that they pray for 10 hours. There's a question I've been asking them. What did you say? They have nothing to tell me. You can't help me. Jesus was there. We knew what he was saying. Or we know now what he was saying. Father God, this prophet said I should shut this down. This prophet said I should go to that cross, which is painful. Lord, I know how it feels to be beaten. Let's go to the realm of the spirit. I go into darkness and you are not there. I was there. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. However, before I was born, you knew me. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, you consecrated me for this particular purpose. Will I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause, I came to this hour. Can I beg you? Look for words like that to speak first before you start rolling in other tongues to say the ones you cannot say. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? Yes. You say that, Lord, we have invested millions and millions of dollars. There are hundreds of patients that have been blessed by this. We pay many surgeons and doctors. Your son, David Wilkerson, came, said, you said. Because sometimes, God, let me say something. Not every time God can talk to you. So why didn't he tell him? Why did he send David Wilkerson? Do you know how many times he tried to tell him? I like one vision that Kenneth Hagin talked about. He said, one day the Lord appeared to him and there were these angels behind him. And so the one of the angels was tall and big. So, real vision, and I believe him, all right? I do believe that that happened. He said, he will look in the direction of that angel. As soon as he looks in that direction, the angel will start saying something. Then he will look away and he will stop talking. Then he gets the feeling the guy wants to tell him something. So he looks there again. The angel will start to talk. Then he will look away. Then the angel will stop talking. Now, I don't want to mix any of his stories, all right? You can get his book, I Believe in Visions. All these stories are there, all right? Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, and then the series of messages about his life and ministry. All those stories are there. But that struck me. Something helped, that helped me understand something. If you don't think in a particular direction, it's hard for God to communicate with you in that direction. And many problems in this life, he gives them to you to get your attention, to just have you think. Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamt. There was something that Daniel said to him that hit me when I read it. He said, King, when you were in your bed, your mind, your thoughts turned to the things that will be in the future. That is, what, you know what that means? The man began to concern himself about the future of his kingdom. Then God began to speak. Before God could talk to Moses, he got his attention. Many times when you are busy here and there, you are busy here and there. That is why, see, there are things in your life, you just wake up at certain times, just think about them. You're not even praying here too. Just think. Not worry now. Just think. You have a ministry, what am I supposed to be doing? This business, what are we supposed to do next? We are doing okay. Our turnover is now like 25 million naira every month. We're able to pay salaries, but is that all? You're just asking questions. Don't be so busy, you don't have time to reason. You don't have time to contemplate. Meditation, time to contemplate and meditate is one of the, it's one of the necessary traits for people who are going somewhere. You wake up during the night, you are solving a problem about your business. Then you fall asleep, you wake up in the morning, it's time to be in the office. You park, get it. At night, you're tired, you fall asleep. See, let me tell you, this is not, I'm not cursing you, I'm helping you. One day you will fall sick. It's not virus. It's not bacteria. It's nothing. It's like God says, you need to seek small. God said, no, the devil cannot do this one. Why? So that you won't get up in the morning and leave the house. And you will see, like Nebuchadnezzar, that the business will not collapse because he didn't get up. Nebuchadnezzar, this is not Babylon the Great, which I by myself, built by myself, with the strength of myself. For the glory of myself, the strength of my might, for the glory of my majesty. You know, it wasn't, I did this. God said, okay, fine. Bros, 7 seasons. We think it's about 7 years. Go and stay inside the psychiatric asylum. Inside one of the hanging gardens you built. And let's run this kingdom without you. Let's see what will happen. His men ran the kingdom so well. The kingdom grew. Things were better without him. For those years, they grew. Things were better. By the time he returned, he couldn't recognize what he left behind. When he began to feel better, they said, Oh, guy is now well. If I don't preach, this ministry will not move forward. God said, I go soon seek you small. Then the ministry will move forward. Church will grow more. The time pastor day hospital, church they grow. When you come back, you'll be humble.
You know, before you felt that, you know how this church is growing? Every night I don't sleep, I'm praying. I groan for this church. I intercede for this ministry. You guys don't know what I'm going through. God said, this boy, I was so enjoyable. It's not you. You must have a sabbatical season in your life. Times in which, it's a business will collapse. I may collapse now. Will it be the first to collapse? When it collapses, it will start another one. Business has grabbed you. You don't have time to think. You don't have time to lie. You don't have time for anything. Anytime you wake up, you are calculating. All your staff wake up in the morning with messages from you. Email. You are the rich office during the day. People are working morning, afternoon, and night. Because I go so sick, you small. I'm not angry with you. I just need you to do what? To think. To have time to reason. To be able to look in a different direction. You have only one direction right now. I need you to be able to reason in a different direction. That is why sometimes God sends prophets. Not because they couldn't talk directly, but they're not listening. The prophet at least will knock. He will take your time. You will greet him. People will, you know, interact. How's the family? How's ministry? Then when you are now concerned with how it's made, I say, sir, there's a reason why I came to see you. I was praying the other night. And I had a vision. And this was the interpretation. The Lord said I should tell you this, and that. You know what he has done? Now, please, what I want to say is very important. You can't let people toss your life up and down because of their dreams and visions. That's even different from the one I said earlier. Don't dream a dream and put me inside. And then you want to run my life. No. It's more of, how do you handle such? Somebody comes. The most important thing the person has done for you is to create a pause in your life. He has pressed pause. If you want trouble, you know what you will do? You will ignore what he has said till another time. It's going to get worse for you. God is handling you the easy way now. What should you do? Once a man finishes talking to you like that, please let me say this again. That business will not die. If the business cannot survive your absence for a week or two, something is wrong. In fact, that alone should be a reason for you to go and restructure some things. Because how long will you work like that? How long? What I'm trying to say is that Bible says it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late and eat the bread of sorrows. Because he gives to his beloved even while he's asleep. So take time out. So what the prophet has done is to create a pause in your life. He has just created what? Pause. No, he has created a pause in your life. So what do? You go and pray. You pause and pray. You start asking questions that you have refused to ask in the last 18 months. Is this all we are supposed to be doing? Is this what we are supposed to be doing? This is how we are supposed to be doing. It could be business, could be ministry, could be marriage, home, children. I was praying for you this night, then I just saw children running all over the place, and you were looking at a piece of paper. I don't know what it means, but what God is saying is that your children are living their lives, you're not even aware of what they are doing. And that piece of paper is your ministry or is your business. You are so preoccupied that one of them fell and injured himself and his junior one was the one tending the wound. You did not notice. See, doing right is not often natural. The reason why commandments exist is because they need to steer us. That's why you have a steering in your car. The road does not always follow. That is the road twists and turns. Without a steering, the car is moving smoothly into the ditch. Without a steering, the car can run fast into a tree. So as life is going on, the car you don't allow the car follow the slope or follow the angles. You understand that this on the road, you know, sometimes the car, no, you steer it. If you want it to go this way, you turn it this way. You have your eyes on the road. And you turn the steering. so that the car will go in the direction that you desire. The natural direction does not work. So the way life flows is not often the right way. That's why we have commandments, we have instructions to turn us in the right direction. And what's the point I'm making? This life is like that. You don't let it lead you. I hope I get my point. Life, you don't let it lead you. So that you are moving at the pace. Your business is dictating the pace of your life. It's not allowed. Your ministry is dictating the pace of your life. No, you dictate its pace. Like a lot of time people, when they get to hear you, I don't get these days anyway. Like everybody don't leave me alone. Tell me about your dad. Before, a lot of, maybe Tall Reverend just like refusing to tell me. He had a lot of invitations. Some preachers said, it's now a sign that we don't make them. Yeah, ministry is now moving. Every invitation you accept. Every invitation you go. You see, doors of opportunity. Just open. You enter this one, enter just one to, you want to. Let me tell you how I do. I'm not saying mine is the perfect one, but this is how I do. There are few invitations I accept. A number of reasons. And most of the times, all right, I value it like this. Like there's a church in Lagos once. Big church, big men, powerful church. One of our brothers was attending at that time. So he asked whether she invite me. So he told me. And you don't have to be like this, just me, how I steer my life. I will have to be in church early in the morning. So which meant I couldn't go to Lagos that morning. I had to go the day before. Except that I used to teach here evenings on Saturdays. Like now we are here Saturday morning. All right? But then it used to be evenings. So that means I will miss that meeting. And then I will get to the church. They said they will give me 45 minutes to preach on a Sunday morning. I'm sorry, you may disagree with me. So I said, my guy, how important do you people think you are that you will uproot me from these people in the neighborhood that give me 2 hours in the evening on Saturday? You take a huge chunk of my Saturday and a huge chunk of my Sunday and give me 45 minutes to teach. I just said to him, you are not serious at all. And they have a lineup of preachers, like they change them every Sunday. I said, that's what money does now. When people are very rich, you just be having ideas. I said, I'm sorry. No, flat. Told him I was sorry. Now, your own may be different. For me, it's a waste of my time, except a special prophetic word comes. And I know the way the Lord will have to lead me to different methods for me to take that kind of invitation. Why? It's an inefficient use of my time. Especially since, you have to know, I live in a technology age, so how Apostle Paul did it. And by the way, even Paul wouldn't do that. You know, this is technology allows us to jump up and down, we preachers. Paul didn't use to jump up and down. Paul goes to a place and sits there. Yes. You know the effort to get there? You will get there and sit there for weeks, for months, and of course, years. This is how technology has affected me personally. Everything I preach here in Kingdom Word, everything I've preached minus less than a handful since 2003, we can produce it for you in one flash drive. We'll copy it for you if you have a big enough drive. Everything is there. So each time I don't show up here, I better be doing something serious elsewhere. So I weigh the whole course and I say, guys, I'm sure you can find people in Lagos to preach for you for 45 minutes. I'm sorry, I can't come. For some preachers, it's an open door. Because you meet important people. Yes. But you know, unfortunately for me, I don't think so. What makes you important? Do you get my point? What is it? I've met important people that I blocked their number, and I'm not kidding. So because you're rich, your husband is rich, because we now met you, you now be sending me all kinds of messages and chatting nonsense. I block you. I have one in mind. Somebody asked me what spoke all kinds of English. I mean, a lot of people think I told you I stream, so many things I can't tell you. You know, families that are connected directly to the president. And the person said, I blocked myself. Stop sending me messages. What nonsense is all of this? In fact, for me, that's why I'm even angry. Because you think you are an important person. See, I only respond to my disciples. And there's a way I know. When people are my students in the word. Who know that... Look, I'm sorry. You are rich. It's your personal problem. And I have found out that's how I will lose my anointing. I know your type. You are the reason why I will lose my anointing. For some people, it's opened up. For me, it's not opened up. Now, so your guy stood with one of our big celebrities in Nigeria and said, open door, and took a picture, put it online. Just because the guy is rich. Somebody, we even questioned the source of his wealth. And the preacher says, open door. I mean, you don't understand. The way I also block you, you won't even know I blocked you. So, for me, I don't like, you see, because you see, ministry does a lot of things for you. You speak, people, it comes with some honor. Are you getting my point? Yeah. But, in the same process, the same people, they will misuse if you're not careful. There's a reason why God had to send another prophet to Jeroboam. And it was an old prophet in the same city as Jeroboam. God didn't send that one. There's a reason why. Because Jeroboam had corrupted his ability to hear the voice of God. As I tell pastors, stop hanging around government houses. I know they will give you money. You don't need their money. Stop hanging around. Seriously. Let this be that when you want to see the governor, he's afraid. Do you get my point? Like they say, Pastor Kemuti said he wants to see you, sir. See, I hope there's no problem. We don't know, he didn't tell us. Chief of staff, what did he say? He refused to tell me anything. You're like, Mugbi, have I lost the election? Did I eat money? Did he find out about the other deal we did? Oh, Mario. Not that the one is, tell him to wait outside, I'm coming. Tell him that, can he come back tomorrow? I can't see him today. Pastor, you have the kind of honor that the man is in a state executive meeting. He will say, please take him to my private the reception area. Tell everybody, please give me a minute. You Russia, man of God. You're welcome. To what do we owe this honor? Anything? And because he knows what to expect. Sometimes you have to think, I was just passing through town. I just felt I should release a blessing for you. Okay. And then he's relieved. He says, he bows his head. Shall we, will you prophesy? I said, no, I don't want anything. Thank you very much. And you won't, no, I'm in a hurry. And then you leave. Not the one that your eye is can't wear the envelope this. No, your eye is scanning. Where is the envelope? And he knows, sometimes I can't come out. Look, give him that envelope and tell him I'll see him later. And some will go to church and go and testify. Praise God. The anointing. And the other day, I'm testifying on nonsense. When Samuel showed up when Samuel showed up in this man's house, David, Jesse's house, what's the name of that their town? Anyway, when he arrived here, you know the elder said, have you come peaceably? Okay. What did we do? Yeah. Because prophets, they don't show up except there's a problem. Say, Lord, have we come peaceably? Is there a problem? Did God say the Babylonians are coming after us? What have we done wrong? They were so afraid. And I said, no, there's nothing. I just came to offer sacrifice to this particular family. Don't worry, it's okay. But they said, okay, sir, are you sure? I said, there's no problem. Thank you, sir. So it's not everywhere your business or your ministry turns, you will face. No, you steer it. You are doing business in a particular area, they say, door just open. So you bring all your... There's one of our guys, I know, one of my brothers worked for a company for a long time. Good. I mean, during his wedding then, I remember, his boss came. He worked for that company. I don't think it's for anything less than 15 years or so. And they were doing well. Then the man decided that it's time to enter politics. That was how the company ended. My brother had to leave and start his own business. He wanted to run for governor in his state. See, let me just tell all of you. If you want to do politics, as a Christian, go and pray hard. Let God speak to you. Let the brethren counsel you. Let them fire you with prayer. Those guys don't joke. See, Even local government politics, ask this guy at the back. One day, let me just tell you a small story about this guy. The guy, you remember that last election? He was doing Labour Party. He went home to see his local government chairman. Before he knew what was happening, Labour Party man was wearing PDP shirt and shouting, hey, 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 hey. He found himself in PDP without knowing. You know what happened to him? He got there. Sir, I want to see you, sir. The man said, enter motor. We are going somewhere. He didn't know. How can a guy say enter motor? And you came to see him. So he abandoned his destiny and everything. Enter the car to talk to Oga. Now Oga said, give me t-shirt. They gave him t-shirt. Wear this one. What will he say now? He was already in the car. The guy don't enter PDP. Of course, you know social media. Now, if they just photograph it, they go and show you to Labour Party people. Say, how do you want to anti-party activity? The guy was wearing a PDP t-shirt and making noise in Oji River. Politics. See, if you have a friend in politics, be praying for him. This guy never, that was it was not his plan. No, was it Labour Party or Afghan? I think he was an Afghan myself. He was an Afghan, not even Labour Party. He was Afghan. He was an Afghan. Before he was Afghan, he had joined PDP. This is my friend I was telling you about. He got up, he bought his Oga, that my brother's boss. He bought maybe like 100 cars or more and donated it to the party in his state. You know what he did? He collected it. Now, what I have in mind is not 100. I just said 100 so that I won't be, to be conservative. Or small. Somebody told him now to donate. They will know you are there. He donated. They knew he was there. Those guys, a lot of them, is what they will eat they are looking for. Make a long story short, by the time that guy was done with his run for governorship in his state, he was bankrupt. That was the end of his big company. There was one guy in Russia, very rich guy. His name just escaped me now. He was Russia's richest man at the time. He made one small mistake. That's what I think. Is you know, to the money sends people around. You just be sleeping. Money just say, hey, get up. You get up. You can be the governor. You two say, now wow, I've been feeling governor-like for some time. It's money. Money will just wake you up. Why are you still sleeping? Why are you sleeping when your mates, your juniors are governors? Just a small aside. I'm always very suspicious when somebody is very rich, say he's called to ministry. I'm always very suspicious. Not because rich people can't be called to ministry, but because, you know, money also calls. There's one problem with money. Let me tell you an example now. If you just decide that, all right. Kingdom what? How many decisions are you put on? We tell you. Just about 24. What? You go home. You know our own, to read that 24, all right? We had to work for years. By the time we were getting to 24, we were already preached over 1,000 messages. So people can come to a website and hundreds and hundreds of messages, a few dozens of books and stuff like that, you know, with prayer. To pay for the first one was Kelabo Shakayaba. You paid for one. To pay for the first one, you pay for two. Before you stop praying to pay, they pay for that. Do you get my point? But you know, a rich man will just go there. How much? There's one problem. He goes with the power of money, no spirit. He will broadcast and broadcast. Nobody's listening. Because it's not money. That's why preachers understand. Money is not God's problem. It's not. It's what is the money empowering. That's the main problem he has. See, if it was money, even inside the church, there is enough money to change the whole world, build churches on every street. But God said, you have built the churches, and say, go and put pastor there, let me see. That's why you know that to find good pastors is harder than finding good teachers. There are teachers in secular things, you know, schools and all of that. So, okay, you build the churches now. Put pastor there, let me see now. So I'm going to say that what the church needs. Because no, it's not money, it's not the problem. Money is not the problem. The other, if at least look, manpower alone to cause, because you have to first call them, they have to answer you. You ordain them, then they have to be faithful. Where I'm going to say, it's not everywhere, every direction you let your life just face because a door of opportunity opened. Sometimes people, because they have money, opportunity for ministry will just open because of money. I was thinking about that man, that rich guy, that Russian guy. Just had an idea. Do you know that was the end of his life? Once that getting involved, Vladimir Putin took him and shredded him. Collected all the companies from him. Sent him to prison. I don't know the backyard negotiation they did after I'd been in jail for maybe like 10 years. No, not 2 days though. I'm not sure the number of years. Quite a long time though. They now finally agreed to release him. And he agreed to move and now lives in Germany. That was, I think, was Europe's richest man, not just Russia. Some of you will know him. Right? His name just escaped me now. But even if I remember the name, I won't mention it. Why? His money sent him into politics. And Putin pulled their ear, all of them after. Say, I left to be doing business. Do your business. And leave politics and the power thereof alone. We have the richest man in Nigeria right now, who's the richest black man. And until a few days ago, was rated the richest African. But one guy overtook him because of the slide in Naira and all of that. You can abuse him all you like. Let me say that any government in power, yes, he's doing his business. You don't have enough sense to know that if you're at that level of business, you don't join any party. Some of you, God give you half of that. You have joined to sponsor one candidate. He will lose. Then the guy who wins decides you are a danger to the society. I know the kings are so powerful. You just sign one small rule. What was costing you $1 billion before suddenly now going to cost $5 billion? And he has the power. So the such men, they have sense. They are not like some of us who like to criticize. You know what? You've never done business at any level. You collected a small salary for like 3 months and you've left university now. You're not finished because you're the student union president and you have small boys listening to you. I may say, according to Franon France, Mark Ferenczi said, you'll be talking nonsense. That'll be abusing your seniors who have done business, look, every month those guys sign salaries. 25 billion naira is what they are signing. You that went to school on scholarship, you're now talking. You're talking. Save it to be silent. The men have realized that, look, if you want to do business, we don't delve into this. You know, that time when APC was declared the winner of the last election, when Ashiwaju go back to Lagos, one of the friends went to see Tony Elumelu. And so that one was waiting for him, for video camera, everything. Last man standing. It was hailing him. Last man standing. Somebody said, I won't put my money in UB again. I said, he doesn't care. Your 2005 is not what is, you know. He said, open my money, you be. I said, look at you. The man is hailing, last man stand. If that one sneezed, 50 billion went to that account. People like you remove your 2-5, 3-5, you know. You'll be, I beg, get out. Where I'm going is that some of these men, see, politics opened for them too. They didn't go that way. They stayed on their line. They stayed on their lane. They stayed on their road. They stayed on their path. They stayed. I've been warning you about multiple streams of income. I've just been warning about it. It's not everything. You dissipate your energy pursuing every stream of income. They bring a lot of trouble with them too. You have to be very circumspect. You think well. You don't let, like I said, it is not every ministry that the minister is supposed to do. People tell you that, if you start singles ministry, church will grow. Nothing wrong with singles ministry. Nothing wrong with relationship seminar. But if you are just doing it because church wants to grow, you will know, like somebody say, cancer is a growth. All kinds of things are growth. Don't please check the kind of growth that is your own. Churches go for different reasons. Bishop Oedipo those days, there was one thing he was doing. Did you ever see him do relationship seminar? Couples meeting. Single zone. Yet in that Lagos, the church went from 2,000 to 20,000 in 12 months. From 2000, in 1 year, they went from 2,000 to 20,000 in 1 year. 2,000 to, did you get my point? Tenfold increase in 1 year. Well, what I believe in outreaches, all right? What was on outreach? Breakthrough seminars. 3 days every month. People gathered from everywhere. I went for one of those early ones those days. And they would teach and teach 3 days once a month. Breakthrough seminar. That's what he called it. That one, that is, the people will come in their multitudes. Now, see what I'm saying? There's no one cap fits all. That's the point I'm going to make. There's nothing like, well, this is the way they do it. So, you say, in this church, you know, they did breakthrough seminar. And then you want to start breakthrough seminar. Then you own a breakdown experience. Yeah, this pastor, stop studying what this other pastor did. Do you get my point? Church said, no, home cell, that's how Miles Morrow, not Miles Morrow, what's his name? Yonggi Cho, he built a church that is 1 million people in number. You start home cell, that is where people are fighting. Armed robbers will come in, bless you, twa, twa, into the air, collect people's phones and all of that. You don't know that you're not a Korean. God knows the problem he's solving in different places. I just feel strong about this. See, don't let your ministry or your business run your life. You run them. Run them. Opportunities will open that you are not supposed to do. You just sit down and you just smile. Say, this is very nice. Say, I'm not doing. Why? I'm just not doing. It's not every door. That's I'm driving. The car is going the direction. I steer it. I will turn it. This is where you're supposed to go. You move in that direction. I turn it. I sit in the driver's seat with the Holy Spirit. Life will not tell me, just be responding to every opportunity that comes up. Businessmen, they make that mistake, you know, because you now have money and every business is not your own. What should you do? I know I went somewhere along the line. When a prophet shows up and says, shut it down. You can't marry that man. You can't marry that woman. Yet your heart has gone there. Your resources have gone in there. You built this hospital, you know, I was talking about our robots now. You started this ministry, you've done. And the prophet now says, don't. Now, listen. I said I want to say something about God, right? I've not even gotten into it. We've not even read the scripture. Have we read it? We haven't. God is wise. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where this is going. You can't see it. But like I was saying, the body has gone. The soul has gone. Yeah, that's the word. The soul has gone in that direction. So the Holy Spirit now comes. What do? Carry the word of that prophet. Remember, the Holy Spirit could not talk to you directly because you are too involved. So he sent a prophet. Why? Because at least a prophet is a person with you. You can see him. You can feel her. You can interact. He can talk to you. She can talk to you. She can take your time and force you to focus. Yes, Deborah is talking to you. You will listen because she's in front of you. She is in front of you. So the few minutes, the 1 hour you are together, you are forced to listen. Then finally, God has gotten through level one. But again, because again, there can be false prophets. People can lead you up and down. But what you need is the leading of God. What you need is the leading of the Holy Spirit. What you need is the, you know, is to do the will of the Father. So what do? You take that instruction and go to pray. Never obey a word from a prophet without that part of it. You must pray. You must get on your knees and pray. And say, Lord, what this man is saying, if it is your word, let it be louder in my ears. If it's your word, let me understand it. If it's your word, give me a sign. But at least the person has done something. He has forced you to think. He has forced your heart to the things that will happen in the future. Like Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar. He has compelled you now to reason. So what do? You settle down there and pray. And continue praying. What about the thing? No, sorry. That was to continue running it. Oh, yes. That business, continue. Just continue for some time. Don't just wake up overnight and say, shut it down, shut it down. No. Just maintain status quo ante, like they say, while you pray. A number of things happen. Sometimes the Lord will just show you a clear vision. A strong conviction comes to you. And you will know that no matter what happens outwardly, I am shutting this thing down. Other times, you know the one face he said last time he came. I was talking, I said, how is church in Lagos? He said that no, that he has discontinued pastoring the church. I said, that's interesting. For a pastor to say that he shut down the church. That he's focused on his itinerant ministry. I said, very good. So what happened? He said he had been praying about it. Now, that's what I'm talking about this. Which direction the ministry should go and everything. Then one day, he got to the facility that they use for meeting. And it had been bulldozed. So the landlord came and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to call you. You know, he knew that he would come earlier than everybody else. There was no building there again. Someone had sawed it. They had brought bulldozer and moved the building out of the place. So the landlord was like, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to call you, but I don't know what to... see what the government is saying. They said, story. Just to the man, don't worry. Confirmation. To the landlord, don't worry about it. Me that I was praying and asking God, because he was feeling like, is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? Is this where my impact lies? Now God, the church was gone. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says that that's what happened. So now, God had already answered him. Remember the day you and Udeshu decided to be doing Fast and Furious? I sent the men to go and preach somewhere. They reached there. Uday was feeling like, what's with those guys in Fast and Furious? Vin Diesel. Now the boom, now the motor goes sugar, upside down, boozer. Well, enough of these guys love for fun, there will have been no injury. Two of them just, the car was upside down, they opened their door, they came out. When he called me, I said, how's Uday? He said, he's fine. I said, how is he? He said, he's fine. I said, I'm fine. Good. The motor did upside down. Good. People are not going back. There's no need for me to tell. What other sign am I looking for? There are times you are praying. And that day, I remember where I was. I was driving around. I was praying. I was around Opera Square. I finished from World versus World. I was going home. But instead of going home, I just slowed down. I was just moving around. I was praying. Then my phone rang and it was you. He said, sir, sorry. Oh. Sorry, waiting. Is everybody fine? Everybody's fine. Yeah, enter motor. Me at the corner house. God was different ways. I was telling the story about Brother Robert. The place went bankrupt. So there was no need to say the prophet had come and said the Lord said shut it down. I don't know how he handled it, but I assumed if I was the one, I would have been in the place of prayer. I won't shut down overnight. I will start praying. And I've seen it happen in my life. That prayer will just go, remove the foundation, the thing crumbles, and you think, good, it's the will of God. But if God wanted it to continue, the more you pray, the thing is getting stronger, then in your heart you realize that, one day, maybe another prophet comes, or that prophet comes and says, no, the Lord said I should do whatever, something will happen, but you'll be in the center of God's will. That's why I said you can't do what is right. I said two things. One, the word of God must be what? That's the way I said it. The Bible must be your friend, and prayer must be your habit. Back to the thing. I said, well, sure, let's read this, then we'll begin to. I hope you've learned something from that. Run the life, don't let life run you. Isaiah chapter 40, let's read. Isaiah chapter 40. Remember, we're talking about the character of God. I'm just looking for a place to start the reading. Please. I'll just start from verse 12, all right? Please, as I'm reading, I may switch between New American Standard and New Living Translation. I'm going to start from New Living Translation because of the way it starts that portion. It says, the Lord has no equal. He said, who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did anyone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? He said, no, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. Please notice that. God picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forests and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count far less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. Now, this is where I wanted to start earlier. He said, to whom can you compare God? To whom will you liken God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they make their own, you know, they might at least choose wood that won't decay. Talking about idolatry, all right? Verse 21. Now notice this. Do you not know? Now I'm reading the American Standard now. Do you not know? Because it sounds very poetic here. Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. It is he who reduces rulers to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely have their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them and they wither. To whom will you liken me? God was speaking. To whom will you liken me that I should be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who lists forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. He said, not one of them is missing. He said, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel? What are they saying? My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Now notice this again, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. I rather love you to get to this next line. His understanding is inscrutable. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. New Living Translation. He said, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though the youths may grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We can continue reading, but let me stop here. I wanted to read into the next chapter and stop somewhere around verse 4. But let me just stop reading here. The most important thing I read there, just one line. It says, his understanding is inscrutable. If you knew American Standard, if you read the New Living Translation, it says, which verse is that? 28. He said, no one can measure the depths of his understanding. No one. I just want to talk about God. You see, that's what we're just doing. Let me put it like this. God knows what he's doing. What did I say?
God knows what he's doing.
What did I say?
God knows what he's doing.
That's the summary of it. He knows what he's doing. He's very wise. He knows the end from the beginning. Like I said earlier, if you are going one direction, he says, don't go in that direction. Now, no matter how good it seems. See, I'm back. I think that's the message for today. Maybe we'll preach this one next time. I'm back to it. Don't let life lead you up and down. You be in front. Let life follow. You follow the Lord. Don't follow life. Are you getting my point? He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. If everybody is going in one direction, please, that is the reason why you should pray. Did you hear what I said? If everybody is doing something, this is now the key. That is the reason why you should go and pray. Because there's an everlasting principle, everlasting precept, that what everybody is doing is most likely wrong. The real thing that is correct, few people are doing it. See, let's be honest. Like in life now, they say, okay, what is the key to prosperity? Now, I was talking with my mom and my sister yesterday in the house. We're just discussing a lot of things. And there's a man, I tell the story all the time, because on social media. We got up one day. He said, he's a doctor, a specialist, has a clinic, had a clinic. He shut it down. He said the clinic was his own. He had a house, he had three cars, he had this, he had staff and everything. He sold everything and he said he's moving to Canada, right? Yes. And he's given an interview. So the man interviewing him, who's also an immigrant to that country, asked him a simple question. Why? Because he was complaining about what he was going through, how they had brought him down, and how he's hoping he will struggle and be able to get his footing. And the person said, okay, you had your footing somewhere. You pulled the footing out. You are now struggling to find your footing here. It's possible. Anybody could do it. Some things can happen. But let's know what happened. Why? I'm sorry to say this. He said something that I felt was the most foolish thing a human being should say on record. You can say some things in private. But the interview, you don't say it. So you see, they will give my children citizenship. That has not answered any question because they were not stateless. Yeah, they had citizenship where they were coming from. And then just by the way, let me say it to you again. Everywhere in the world, okay, not that everywhere, apart from Switzerland and maybe Saudi Arabia and a few countries, maybe there are not more than two handfuls. Citizenship is for sale. Everywhere. Say, apart from America. No. Especially United States. It's for sale. It's for sale. I know countries now, one of them in Europe in my mind, many of those islands, who cash they give you as is a transaction. You give them the cash, they give it to you. The European ones, I think, another one popped in my head now. I won't mention. But they are Europeans. They sell it. It's the amount that's the issue. And what I say sell now, this one that I mentioned now, is not even $1 million. It's $200,000, $250,000. You give it to them. And they hand it to you. Those small islands, that one is normal with them. Just come, how much you get? Come, bring it. You're not bribe. It's not bribery. It's a state policy. Some of them, you just come into the country and invest in a business. That's it. And you're a citizen. So what they do is that they let you come in. Then you stay for 5-6 years. Then you're the citizen. That one includes the United States. It's the amount of money that's the issue. You go to the United States, you invest a certain amount of money. They give residency permit. And if you live there constantly for about 5 years, I'm not sure the number of years, you can apply. And if you meet some criteria, they don't have a problem. They give it to you. That's why I said what that man said is foolish. He was getting rich enough as a person to be able to buy it. And I keep on saying, if the God that blessed you will not retire, why can't he bless your children? But I don't know him, so just trying to get Christians to understand that it is not everything everybody's doing. You just jump into. I will say this again. When we say God is wise, he's a very personal God. When I say personal, what do I mean by that? In his wisdom, he has placed you into a particular position in his eternal plan. Yes, he has. You are not a game of chance. You're not just here because I just feel like being here. No. Each day of your life, He has prepared it And each day, he's waiting for you or working with you to cooperate, to fit into the place where you are supposed to be. He's eternally wise. Let me just say something to you again about God. He's the boss. Many people don't realize that. Your faith is not the boss. He is the boss. The teaching of faith that gives us the impression we can control life is a sad one. It's unfortunate. Don't learn faith until you think you can create your own universe and live in it. That is exactly what Satan sold to Adam and Eve. The independence from God. Genuine faith is not the ability to create things by yourself. Real faith is the ability to subject yourself to the eternal plan of God. That is real faith. Real faith, that's why you need the Bible. Real faith is you discover what he has said and you say, I must fit into this. You know why I'm saying so? In God's wisdom, what doesn't look good to you may be the perfect thing for you. Do you get my point? Who said this? I'm about to quote somebody. Okay, I think it's Dami that said it. Abi, are you not the one that preached it? Apostle Abi, are you? Okay, no, it's Faye. I just know this person, a young minister. No, you know, I used to be a young minister, in my opinion, until one day they called the meeting of young ministers, they didn't call me. That was some years ago. After that, they are just fashioned all of them. I said, oh, they are all small boy ministers. I'm not talking to them again. I just looked at all of them. I marked them. So I knew it was one of them. It's Faye that preached it. And when he was in town, in TCC. He said, one lifetime is too short to judge the faithfulness of God. He said, one lifetime is too short to judge the faithfulness of God. That's too short. I said, my God, this is revelation. What am I trying to say? You can't judge your life based on what material prosperity your obedience produced. You can't. You can't. On the day he was preaching, he said that life is lived, let me use my own words for the things he said. I can't remember the exact words. That one I said was exactly how he said it. But he said other things like, it's not, you're not living just for this generation. That life is a relay. You run your own part of the race and you hand the baton over to the next person. Many of us, not realizing that, you look at your part of the race. You don't like the track. So you leave the race that you are supposed to run and you go somewhere else because the track looks better. What am I trying to say? Let's talk about Abraham again. Let me tell a story that you all know. The most important thing that God ever did on this earth is to bring Jesus Christ. You know that?
Yes, sir.
That's the most important, the coming of Jesus. Let me say it again. The coming of Jesus is the most important thing that ever happened on the earth. The coming of the Lord, the person, the one individual, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of Mary, born in Bethlehem. That person, the birth, the life, the death and resurrection, put it together, is the most important thing that ever happened on this earth. Now, some may not understand this, but let me say it. Adam was created for that purpose.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Jesus did not come to redeem Adam, per se. Adam was the first step to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
now, that very important thing, that most important thing, is what, see, you know why God destroyed everybody on the earth at the point in time? You know, Jesus said, a body thou hast prepared for me. You know why he killed everybody at a particular point in time? He wasn't angry. He wasn't like, if you were annoying me, I won't talk to you again. No. It was that they were about to pollute the lineage of the sun. Each time the giants came, that was the purpose. So that God will have no choice but to destroy everything. Because if Jesus will not be able to come, everything has to go. See, that one individual, the Son of God, is the reason why he destroyed everything at a particular point in time and saved only Noah. That is the reason why he looked it. Of course, you know how he called Abraham. You know how he worked with Isaac, Jacob. But where I'm going is that was the reason he took Jacob and his descendants and went and kept them in Egypt. Secreted them somewhere in Egypt until you have the right, the, righteousness to wipe out everybody in that promised land. Then he returned them back there. He brought them back there and sustained that nation. Now, you're talking about millions of people now. Millions of people. Millions of babies died in Egypt. Millions died in the promised land to get the place cleansed. That was why he called the nation Israel. That was why they continued, broke into Judah. He said, this nonsense is enough. He caught one called Judah. You don't know, human beings are difficult, even for God. They are so hard. He sends prophets again and again. All of it so that one day the Son of God can come in peace. I'm telling you the truth. He does things, the way God uses resources. If you study physics and astronomy, the advanced physicists and all of that, they still can't believe that this speck of dust, which is just, when you compare the whole of our galaxy to the Pacific Ocean, the largest ocean on the earth, our solar system is like a grain of rice. I hope you can imagine that. Our solar system. And the largest thing in our solar system is the sun, not even the earth. I didn't say the earth, though. I said the whole solar system is like a grain of rice. If you compare our galaxy to the Pacific Ocean. Now, inside that grain of rice, imagine the size of our earth. Just a speck of rice. So they can't believe that everything exists because of the earth. You want to know the truth? That is why it exists. Why you have the galaxies is because of this. That's why they go around searching for life, searching for life, searching for life. But they can't find it. Do you know why they can't find it? It's not there. But that's how God does. He knows what he's doing. I like the way Miles Monroe said it. He doesn't always give you the details of what he's doing. But he will explain to you, help you realize your part in that which he's doing. I'm sure, what's the name of our girl? Ruth. Did not know when Jesus was coming one day. All the Lord revealed to her is, take care of your mother-in-law. That's all. That's all the Lord revealed to her. Take care of your mother-in-law. So Ruth looked at Naomi as Naomi was going back home, having lost her husband and her two sons. I said, no, ma, you can't go back alone. So she went with her mother-in-law. And God said, fine. Now we take care of you. They took her, gave her to Boaz. And Boaz had a son called Obed. Obed had a son called Jesse. Jesse had a son called David. And God said, that's where we're going. Now, you know Ruth never lived to see David. So let's not even talk about what came after David. But Ruth was vital in the coming of David. And David was vital in the coming of Jesus Christ. You know Rahab? Remember Rahab? The same thing. One angel just came one day and said, this harlot you never do. How long have you been a prostitute? 5 years, sir. Okay, what have you achieved? Nothing. Now, they are going to destroy you and destroy everything. Even me, say, anytime I wake up in the morning, my conscience, angel said, there's no problem. Do you want to be useful? Say, yes. Two men are coming, help them. That was how Rahab got into the picture. Two men are coming, help them. You know the story. They are going to destroy this place. Your only hope for deliverance. What do you give me? Your father, your mother, everybody can come along. Your family people will save them together. And that's all Rahab needed to do. Now, let me say something there. That's why if you don't know this thing, when you're reading the scriptures, you can be confused. Sometimes I read the book of, which book now? Judges. And it looked like these guys were, sorry, can I use the word? They were, okay, yeah, I have a better word. They were real nonsense people. Go and read Judges. So which kind of human beings are these? People of God? How can they be the people of God? Now, where I'm going is that, see, when you're reading your scriptures, some people want to take the whole of the life of Rahab and analyze. Please don't do it, though. Just check the one the Bible showed you. She was a harlot. You think she continued harlotry? I forgot, how many people remember the name of her husband? Because I think it's given to us in scriptures. They gave her to that one. He married, he had children. Next thing, one of the descendants. Now, David. God took the good part of Rahab, purified her genes, kept it, used it to prepare a body for Jesus Christ. I hope you're getting my point. See, God in his wisdom, he knows. See, can I just beg you? Satan knows the only way he can take you out of the will of God is to entice you with things that don't last. He entices you with money, a good house. He entices you with comfort. You too, you can fly around the world. I hope you know flying around the world is a mental thing. Yeah, some people like it, some people don't like it. You see, there's no good thing in it. There's no bad thing in it. It's just a thing. Have you ever soaked garri with granite and sugar and stuff like that? And you finish eating it and you feel like, God, why are you this good? Have you noticed? See, you can go for a buffet. Fried rice here, cow leg here, nkwobi here, all those kind of things. The plenty food with ice cream and everything. You eat it and you are feeling very what? Very good. And you feel like, man, there's no food like this. Usually it shows you are still poor. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. Those who have eaten and have eaten and they have eaten. The time they really give the Lord thanks is that garri time. They don't eat fried rice. They don't tire. Yeah. They don't chop buffet. They don't tire. When you see pop, when they see buffet, oh, more seafood. But where am I going? Some of these we are pursuing in life, eh? They're just mental. You can see. Some people like to travel the world over. I like to sit in my house. I get more joy sitting down there than anywhere. It doesn't mean I'm a good person. It just means I'm anointed. That's all. Where am I going? See, please. This is where I'm going. It is not right of you to allow Satan to distract you from the eternal plan of God, something he proposed in his wisdom, because you want to be temporarily comfortable. Please make of that what you like. I won't say much more than that. See, each person that comes to this, there is something God wants you to donate. He is very wise. What did I say? He's very wise. I don't know in eternity what my coming to Enugu is supposed to achieve. But God just said, go to Enugu and preach. Teach the word, record it, make it available. Let me tell you this story, then I don't want to stay for too long. I close with it. Oswald Chambers. Beautiful story. Oswald Chambers. I've told this story many times. If you heard me teach well, enough times, you probably have heard it. I don't think I can preach 100 messages and it won't come in at a point in time. All right? Now, personally, you know me, if you've listened to me enough, I've read around a bit. I like reading. I know a lot of ministers have read their books. The depth of insight I find in Oswald Chambers, I don't know any other person that has preached in modern times, I'm just removing those who wrote the Bible. I don't know any that I can compare. Deep. See depth everywhere. Every line. One line. Depth, depth, depth. Each line, depth. Read one thing. The man is deep. In fact, understanding him alone requires the Holy Spirit. The shocking thing was that he died at the age of 43. Yeah, 43 he was dead. He died one very annoying way. He had appendicitis. When he was in Egypt, the doctors operated on him. He had complications and he died. 43, depth of teaching, no recording device. He wrote only one book, Christian Disciplines. And it's the only book I can't read. I've read many of his books. That is the one I can't read till now. Because it's as if Shakespeare gave his life to Christ and cooperated with King James. Do you get my point? King James and Shakespeare sat down and wrote a book for us. Full of Elizabethan English. Very poetic. You read it. Maybe I should go and try it. Maybe the Holy Spirit will now breathe upon it for me. I can't read the book. I've tried. It's broken into two parts. One and two. That's the only book he really wrote. And we're talking about depth of teaching. How come we know the depth of teaching? It's simple. There was a young woman, listen to this carefully, who wanted to be important in life. So she went to school and learned, you know, secretarial studies, wanted to be a very good stenographer. Because those days, as she spoke, they wrote down in shorthand. She was very good. I heard Oswald Chambers' daughter being interviewed, talking about her mother, that she was phenomenal. She was supposed to work, her aim was to work in Aso Rock. For the British Prime Minister. That's where she wanted to work. She applied for the job. She didn't get it. So this young woman met this young pastor. this young clergyman and married him. And used to follow him everywhere. That's why he's, you know, not just go here, he would go somewhere and teach for a month, for 6 months, for a year. That's what he used to do. And she was always present, taking notes. Always present, taking notes. So everything she said, she wrote down. Everything he preached, she wrote down. And at age 43, he died. The only thing left of his life were the notes the wife took down. The house he built, we don't know. The automobiles he owned, we don't know. Whether they were automobiles, because he died around 1918 or so. It's quite a while ago. So it should be up to 100 years now. There were no recording devices when he lived. So the wife used to take notes. When he died, she had a bundle of notes. A bundle of notes. So one day, friends picked the notes and began to publish. And that's why we're talking about it now. Now let me ask you, it's a simple question. Who was more important? The man who preached the message or the woman who took the notes? No, I asked the question. There's no both to that. I said, who was more important? This is what they won't pay attention. Did you say both too? You said both. Your English is getting question. I said, who was more important? Both. Ezekiel is correct. Only the Lord knows. Ezekiel is correct. But I like the confusion he generated for us. He preached and preached and preached and preached. He didn't write. He should never wrote. He will have blessed a few people, that generation, and that's the end of it. But she wrote everything down. I think of all time, he ranks amongst the most respected preachers of all time. They did a daily devotional from his book called My Utmost for His Highest. Musicians gathered and did an album. I need another one. You can go and look for My Utmost for His Highest. Oh God, scores and scores of books have come from those teachings. I have a complete compilation of everything. Fat book. What's more important? Difficult for us to say. Only the Lord knows. All of the books minus the one Christian discipline, which is the one that most people don't, at least I can't read, was taken from the jottings that transcripts. A woman was transcribing her husband talking. She'll be these days now, everyone just relax. The camera is on recording me, YouTube is there broadcasting it. Recorders are, at least two devices are there recording side by side. And then they pull out the devices, you know, the one computer is there, another recorder is there. No, that woman was a camera. That woman was a recording device. That woman was everything. Her piece of paper. She just gathered them. Now let me ask you a question. Would you have loved that woman to have married the richest man of that period? Now that we're talking about it. You know, there was the richest man in their season also. I hope you know that. What is his name? Don't bother. You don't know. You know that richest man must have had houses. Where are they located? You don't know. You know, my mom and I were talking yesterday. Some things came up. Now, I mentioned the name of one very rich man when we were growing up. I said, are the children still there? There was the way she did her face. Ah, they are there. I saw one the other day. He's just struggling. I remember when we were young. I still remember when my father bought his 504 for 6,000. 600 naira, or something like 7,000 naira. Brand new Peugeot 504. Or more. Heavy, right? That man bought a 500 SCL, 75,000. Yeah. It was the talk of town. 75,000 naira. I tell you the price of a brand new 504 the same time for you to compare. An S-Class Mercedes Benz. It was, that is, before we saw it, we heard about it. Have you heard? This man bought this car. Have you heard? He bought this car. It was the talk of town. I still remember the first day I saw it. So this is the car. So you know, you wanted to enter. God, what will you do for me in this life? Let me just enter for 5 minutes. It's a prayer of a young, you don't want to own it. You just want to enter. Let me see the difference between my father's 504 and this, is it 500? SCL. Years later, I'm asking about the children. My mother said, it's my matter. See, hey, I told my mother the story I've told you here before about how I was in New York with my friend. And I said, Banky, if you guys have time, I will take you to the shop where the number three citizen of Nigeria, when we were young, the mother used to travel to France to go and buy makeup. It was in the news. He had only one daughter. He said, let me take you to the shop where she works for minimum wage. I said, bro, I'll not get that. This one I can't do for here. Yeah, he said, he just wanted to go. He said, no, I'll take you to the shop. She said, she's there working for minimum wage. The mother used to board the flight to go and buy cosmetics. One of the top men in the country when I was a young boy. You know what I'm trying to say? I told you a number of stories. See, don't use your life to be pursuing things that will not last. No matter, see, it doesn't last. But I've told the story of one lowly woman. See, anybody who ever hears me preach will hear this story. You know, there are things you do. Jesus said that anywhere this gospel is preached. Yeah. And he was right. They documented it. Every time you read the story of Jesus Christ, you read the story of the woman who poured an alabaster box of pure nard on him. You read the story. When you waste your life for Christ Jesus, that is when it really has value. When you waste your life for Christ Jesus, that is when it really has value. Please, let me beg Christians. You can't be pursuing. You know, people will be telling you, this God. There's one thing that you said yesterday. When did you say it? It's yesterday now. Two pounds of wheat for a day's wages. Remember that? Yeah. In answer, prices are determined in heaven. People say, waka to you. Remember? People are just angry with you. Blame Ashiwaju, blame Bola Tinubu, blame APC, blame NNPC. But that thing you said is so true. A decree goes out from heaven. Now, please, can I finish my message? I don't want to say this. Maiduguri is flooded. 25% of the city is underwater. It's one of the largest cities in northern Nigeria. 25% is currently underwater. Have you noticed that it's not been raining much in Enugu? Yes. Have you noticed? Each time to get rain, we have to pray. It rained this night, and I'm like, oh, well, first heavy rain in how many weeks? Unusual. Well, this is September. The rain is supposed to be heavy now. You know what happened? A breeze came from the Atlantic and blew all the rain to the north. At the time it was raining, my pastor said it was raining in Sokoto every day. That's why you hear flooding. Those of us down, and by the way, they've warned, yeah, if you're around the lower coast of the Niger, get ready, that water is going to get down. So they've been warning everybody now. If you're in Delta, Bayelsa, rivers, all the places, get ready, the water is coming. But the rain has been heavy. Please follow what I want to say. Look, I finished the main message, all right? One quarter of Maiduguri underwater. Bear that in mind. Before that time, 2 pounds of wheat. For those who don't know, that is, but do not hurt the wine and the oil. Now, what that simply means is that you work a whole day to just get enough to eat. That's what that means. The angel was declaring it. Okay? So you know it's been happening. How much is fuel here? Eh? It has not reached 1350. Okay, praise God. But I thought somebody said 1350. Yeah, 1250. Oh, where? 1,400. Yeah, somebody called me from where? It says 1,004. So, you know, I cannot be having this unconscious feeling that federal government is going to do something. The president said that we have to make hard decisions. Hard decisions. I said, oh, God. I was expecting to just say, calm down, guys, calm down. We are working by next week. He said, hard decisions. Basically, there's crisis with food. Thank God for the progress we've made with banditry and all of that. But if you see, it's one stage after another. And the horses ride one after the other. So, physically speaking, you'll be able to explain a problem from the one that came before it. But the Bible says the ark did not come out of things that are visible. So, really, that's not the cause. So, there's food crisis because farmers are not going to the farm because of herdsmen crisis and banditry. Okay, but the Bible says actually there are two different horses. The one that gets men to kill each other is different from the one that takes away food. And when there's a lot of food, hunger, disease will come in. So the minister for health yesterday was speaking about how many millions of doses of vaccines that were in their underground bunkers, cold storage, that this water has destroyed. Oh, yes. Now, the hospital was flooded. They had to discharge patients. University students couldn't come out. Prisoners escaped. All kinds of things. What I'm preaching to you is that please see those things from the spiritual perspective. Don't ever see them from the physical perspective. Please don't. Always see them from the spiritual perspective. So, now, they are afraid of the outbreak of disease. They've sent water purification units to Maiduguri to prevent cholera. Because the health minister says, if cholera breaks out, guys, you don't want, that is, there's enough trouble now. We don't want disease. So we have to be preemptive. Pray for them. Then, Father God, please, have mercy. One crisis after another, all over the country. Please, I've been recruiting people who will stop talking nonsense. Stop blaming the government. They need prayer. People say that they should have done something about this. You can't even cut the grass in front of your compound. Now you're talking. In case you want to know, the water was so plenty. All right? They had to open the dam so that the dam would not break. That's what happened. But there are levees that are supposed to prevent the water from entering the cities, keep the water. But that is where men have not maintained. Who didn't expect this to happen? So they broke. You see, that's probably in Nigeria. No, it happened in America. Go and read the story of New Orleans. Yes, flood the same thing. Yes, Hurricane Katrina brought a lot of rain. The rain was supposed to be contained inside the river, blocked by levees, built by the military years ago. They weakened over time and they broke. People will be in their homes like this. Water will rush in. They are watching. They have nowhere to go. And covered them. Go and read the story of Katrina. People were hanging on their roofs, waiting to be collected. Those who had high buildings were lucky enough to go to the highest portions and wait. Other people died by hundreds in United States of America. Look, when disaster wants to come, it doesn't care the country you live in. People of God is not normal. It's a spiritual problem. It's not normal. It's a spiritual problem. I just feel like saying this before I leave. So that when you see things like this, people of God, there's only one thing you are supposed to do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. See, right now, look, there's no other thing you can do for this country. But Christians, please turn. The way of the world. See, I've said many things. I hope any one of them makes sense to you. When I teach on Saturdays, now, so it be. We'll have to see everything. Do you get my point? Where I was going, I began this by, look, don't follow the way of the world in everything. Just fulfill what you're... You don't have to live in a comfortable environment your whole life for you to know that God has done something for you. Abraham left a comfortable environment and moved into the wilderness so that you can sit freely to the otherwise you'll have been a slave in Cambodia. Yes. I hate slavery. I don't understand that message. One of the reasons why God helps me do what I want to do is that I'd rather be poor than be a slave. To me, slavery is worse than poverty. Yeah. To me, slavery is worse. If I have any idea, you are going to box me into a corner where I can't make choices for my life. I'm not following you. And I pray to God, don't box me into a corner where I can't retreat. I can't go forward. I can't go left. I see people who say they're living in Nigeria. You see the way they box themselves. And God is saying, no, I won't do anything for you. Why? I made you comfortable. But you decide to compare yourself with somebody else. Oh God, see, too many things to say. Men of God. Too many things to say. Some of people that let me tell you something. Some of the people that complain the most in this country. God said, see, you better stop before you provoke me to the level of anger you don't want to see. I have a nice house I live in, my family. I walk down the corridor. I just lift up my hand sometimes. I just say, Lord, thank you. May I never complain. You can ask my wife. You've known me for 20 something. Have you ever heard me grumble? My wife met me when I had the only. I think the only valuable thing, the most valuable thing materially I had was a short fridge I bought used from a friend of mine. Okay, no, by that time I bought a used AC from the same guy. Yeah, he's my guy's cousin who deals in, he repairs cooling stuff. So when you see some good one, you just call us. We'll go and buy. I bought an AC and that's all. But I say I can't complain. You know why? I feel too blessed. Oh, I feel too blessed. Ah, yeah. I've been feeling blessed for a long time. The Bible says associated with the lowly. I've seen people far worse than me that I cannot start complaining to anybody. After all, my head is correct. With all the money in this head, if your head is not correct, who's richer? Elon Musk has a, is he a daughter or a son? I don't know. A boy that now says he's a girl. If I dash you $10 billion, say your children no go know whether they be boy or girl, you go collect. You go collect. And your child tells you that you're a crazy man. Your own daughter or boy, I don't know. But your own son say he be girl. And your papa na bad man. What is the sin the man committed? He's a billionaire. So all the billionaires in this world are evil people. Let me tell you, prophetic word. God says, I need this grumbling to stop. That those of you who complain the most in this nation are the ones that are blessed the most. That guy I was telling you about, 99% of this world, they cut off a hand to be like him. Yeah, you own your own business. You're a specialist doctor. You hire staff. You have a driver. You have a cook. You own a house. You have three cars. And you can complain. Why do you think I created hellfire? For people like you. Read your Bible. Grumblers, God hates them. Grumblers. Oh, God hates grumblers. Because the things you are pursuing, God says, you don't realize how empty they are. I gave you peace of mind. I was talking to my mother. I said, one thing I can't sacrifice is that peace of mind. I don't care how much you're earning in Saudi. You don't have my peace of mind. You have your own. I'm not saying you don't have peace of mind. But I have my peace of mind. Don't take it away from me in pursuit of something. I'll give you my own testimony. Once in a while, people tell me, Pastor Banky, please continue. It's as if my angel, they said, anyway, by the way, angel, keep talking because I said, I'm not planning to stop. No, maybe you probably will have thought of stopping. He says, you don't know how many people you are helping. Just continue with what you are doing. I said, praise God. It's not how rich I am that's the issue. Why am I saying all of these things? God, let's trust the wisdom of God. Let's not let life push us up and down. Please let me say this about Nigeria. You know, I was talking about Nigeria. What we need to do again, all this crisis is spiritual. You need to get up, claim the country in prayer, back for God. That's what you need to do. And I'll say it again. Something happened last week. And I told my wife again, I said, I've come again. No, sorry. I came to that conclusion long ago. But it's just been reinforced for certain reasons. The number one problem Nigeria has. Somebody else may say something else, but hear this from me. Number one problem this country has is that Christians have rejected the country. That's number one problem. You want to know? Get an average Christian, dash him 100 million naira. Watch what he does. Just get an average one of your brethren that has a wife and two children. Prosper him so they can raise 250 million. Go and check what he does. He doesn't build a refinery. He packs his family abroad. If you're like that, please stop praying. Pray for your family. Pray on the boat. For the land, leave it. Ignore it. Leave it. Leave it. Harvest what you can and get out. Because it's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. If God does not convert you, he can't do anything for you. I told my friend, Pastor Craig, when he wanted to go to Maiduguri one time, he packed all his children, his two oldest sons, put them inside the vehicle. Everybody, let's go and preach in Maiduguri. And they camped there for some weeks. He said, come and stay here. Life is not a backup. Come and see what your father does. So he said, he's a risk. He said, yes. If I can't risk their lives, then there's nothing I'm doing here. See, there's a reason why, I've been telling you, the king of Moab, there's a reason why he got the ears of God. When he sacrificed his son that should reign in his stead, and indignation turned against Israel. I don't have time to teach you about that now. There's a reason why. One of God said, hey, boys, enter motor. Let's go and preach. Anybody was running, he said, no, you two of you, enter house. So, but they are going to church, ironing cloth, helping their father do that. They say, ah. So, say, hey, it's risky. Which kind of risk? I come here every time. Why do I want to serve a God that my children don't respect? See, I'm telling you, Nigeria doesn't have any other problem beyond rejection by the people of God. They rejected the country. That pastor that was talking about his wife who left him and packed up the children and ran away, he said, I talked with men in the inner circles. You know, I can never have my children in this country. And they are there pastoring big churches. Pastoring big churches, preaching and shouting. Yes, God will prosper them. You see, I was saying something earlier. God has so many things to say, I left it. You have to, then when I talk about, look, Rahab, you pick a bit from their life. You have to know how to pick bits and pieces for people's lives. Because you can't take them totally. They will teach you with Bible ministry how to study, how to build a big church. God said, that's all. When I talk about destiny of nations, don't listen to that guy. I can never use him to redeem a land. God was, I can't use him. Want to know Nigeria's problem? I have told you. It's rejection by the people of God. What I've told you, see, just go and try it. One guy was doing recycling business somewhere around us here, somewhere around the southeast to Middle Belt. Not Middle Belt. Delta, between Delta and Southeast, I'm not very sure of where. So I win awards. You know the way when you go and likes things like recycling, LGBT agenda, climate. Anyway, so this guy, they do climate. So you try to give him awards. They do stuff, you know. Ah, let's say doors open, go abroad. As soon as he got more, you know the first thing he did? Pack his wife, his children, toss them to North America. The first thing he did with all the money and the doors that opened for him. So now he has to labor on Nigerian recycling thing, carry as much money as possible, take care. That's the reason why God left giants in the land. Told the people of Israel, go there. If you see the giants, you want to overcome them, I will overcome them for you. But if you don't want the giants, I won't give you the land. Like if you're not ready to face up with the giants, face the giants in battle, I'm not going to give you the land. Let's bow down our heads. I've said many things. Maybe it's a prophetic service, apostle. So pick the one that's your own. I've said many, many things. Remember that God is wise. Don't disrupt his plan for your own life. He's very wise. But can we pray for this country? Just say, Lord, have mercy upon your church. Say, Lord, have mercy upon your church. Say to the Lord, have mercy, please, upon your church. Bless this land for our sake. Pray for those who are flawed, afflicted in Maiduguri, that God will use this difficulty, this time of trouble, to draw them closer to himself. That's the most important thing in the midst of all these troubles. At least I hope that we now are now learning that there's no government that some people say, hey, that's why we should have voted for this person. Leave that nonsense. It will have been worse. So only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. So pray, say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy upon this land that you love so much because of your people who you love. The land of your purpose for because of your people whom you love. Have mercy. That's a prayer. Say, Lord, have mercy upon this land because of your people whom you love.